The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Week's Parashas Ekev. In Parashas Ekev, Perek Ches, Pasuk Gimel, it states by Ya'ancha, by Yarivecha, by Ya'achilcha Esamon, by Ya'ancha, by Yarivecha. I made you suffer, I caused you to suffer and to be hungry in the desert. And then I fed you the mon, by Ya'achilcha Esamon, the mon that was the manna. Asher le'yodata ve'le'yodun aveshecha. This was mon min hashamayim, a mon, which you did not know, and neither did your fathers know of this. Leman hodi'acho, ki lo al alechem levado yichye odem, in order to teach you that not by bread alone does a person live, ki al kol meitzufi Hashem yichye odem, but rather by the word of Hashem does a person live. In the desert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have provided them by a natural means a food. Instead, he did not. And in its place, he brought mon min hashamayim. And this they existed on, and it was not only existed, they existed in the best of luxury on it. It was a very luxurious food for 40 years in the desert. And this was to teach Klal Yisrael, to give them a foundation in the bitochen, in the trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that a person doesn't live by bread alone, but rather by the word of Hashem. Now in this parasha, there are a great many Yisodis principles, important principles, in regards to Parnoso Shel Adam, Bezeinesov Shel Adam, a person's physical sustenance, which I would like to spend some time this evening on some of them. And this is one of them. That a person does not live by the bread alone, but by the word of Hashem. The Gemara brings the Masechta Psochim and the Kuf Yud Ches Omer Aleph. The Gemara tells us that we should not think that Panosha, Mizeinesev Shel Odom, is something light. It states, Amar B'Yechanan, Koshin Mizeinesev Shel Odom, Yeshe Min Agu'ula. The Panosha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides every individual, not only does he provide every individual with Panosa, but every living creature. There are literally millions of living creatures that he created in the world, on the land and in the sea and the heavens. Every little creature, every living creature, he provides with Panosa, and all in his proper time, and the proper type. So Rabbi Yechanan said that Koshin Mizeinesev Shalodim Yesem in Agula. It's a greater miracle, this mezeinus that he gives to people, even than redemption, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to redeem someone from a tzora. And what is the source of this? Gemara brings a source from a posuk that we had in Parshas Vayechi. In Parshas Vayechi, Perek Memches, posuk Tes Vov. Yaakov was reunited with his son Yosef in Egypt, and there he saw also his Yosef's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Yaakov now is old, and he wants to bless the two sons. So he Torah tells us he gave them the following blessing. Before he blessed the two sons, he blesses Yosef. And he says, Vayivarachesh Yosef. This is on Tesvot, Pasuk Tesvot. Vayivarachesh Yosef Vayemar. He blesses Yosef and he says, Valakim Asher Yisalchu Aveisai Lefonov. Avram Yitzchok. The God who my fathers have walked before. Avram and Yitzchok. Halakim Hareya Esi. And the God who has shepherded me. What does it mean, shepherd? So the Targum Onkelos says, the Zon Yossi, who gave me Mezenis, gave me to eat. Me'edi Ad Hayem Azer, from the very early days until this very day. And then he goes on to say, HaMaloch HaGeil Esi Mikul Kolro, and the angel which has redeemed me from all sorrows, Yivorech HaSanorim. Then he goes on to bless the children. Yivorech HaSanorim, let him bless the children. Yikore Behem Shmi V'Shem Aveise Avram V'Yitzchok, and let them be called in my name, and in the name of my fathers Avram V'Yitzchok, V'Yidgu L'Rei B'Kerev Oretz, that they should multiply within the land. So the Gemara points out that when he was speaking about Hareya Osi, the God which has shepherded me, which means Zon Esi, the one that gave me Mezenis, there he says Elohim, the Almighty. When he speaks about the one that was Geir Esi, Mikol Ra, that redeemed me from all Tzoros, there he refers to the Malach, to the angel. So the Gemara says, what do we see from here? That when it comes to redeeming a person from his sorus, malach be'alma, that can be done by an angel. When it comes to mezainus, giving a person sustenance, that's a lakim harayi, I see. That's only Hashem himself. But the Gemara is telling us that the mezainus of shel odom comes from the highest possible source, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And this also the Gemara says in Masechta Tainus, the beginning of the Masechta. It states, Gimel Maftoches, there were three keys which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give away to anyone else, even to a malach, even to an angel. And what are those three keys? Chaya Geshem Utchia Sameisim, the key to birth, when it comes to the opening of the womb and to give life to a new person, that an angel doesn't do. That key HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps. Geshem, the key to the rains, which is the source of the Parnosa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps. And Tchiyas HaMeisim, the reliving of the dead. And if you'll notice that all three have to do with Chaim, with life. The birth of a newborn, the Parnosa, which sustains life, and Tchiyas HaMeisim, the reliving of the dead. And the morale in his Nesiva Aveda, Reish Peret Yud Ches, explains why is it sufficient to send an angel, a malach, HaGeil Esi Mikol Ra, to redeem me from all sorrows. But when it comes to Panosa, you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Panosa sustains a person. It's the kium. In other words, it's giving him life. Without Parnosa, he dies. You cannot send an angel to give life to someone, to give sustenance to someone, when the angel himself needs sustenance. The angel might not need physical life, but he certainly needs sustenance. And his sustenance comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Almighty. The fact is, all life and all sustenance only comes from Hashem. No one gives life to anyone else. its source is only in Hashem. This is what the Rambam writes, and we brought it on Shabbos, that Ein Od Milvadoi, which was in last week's Sedra. What does it mean, there is no one else besides him? He's the Reishis HaKol. He's the source of all life. In science we have a principle, an axiom, that there of cause and effect. There cannot be an effect without a prior cause. There's one exception to that rule. This is a truth, but there's one exception, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate cause for every effect in the world, but there is no effect for him. The Rambam says this is what is meant, that Anechi Hashem Elokecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Reishis. He was the first. No one preceded him. And Ein Od Milvado, and there was no one else with him. HaKol Tluy Boy, who ain't a Tluy Behem. Everything in the world is the reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is reliant on nothing in the world. The Rambam says if we could imagine that everything in the world would disappear, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would still be here. If we could imagine kaviyochel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would disappear, then everything would disappear. Because he is what gives sustenance in life to everything. So therefore, when we're coming for Parnoso, we're coming for the very essence of the sustaining sustenance of life. That can only come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That cannot come from an angel, because an angel doesn't have that life himself to give to others. His sustenance also comes from Hashem. And that's what it means, Elohim Harei Aishi Me'odi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has been mefanes me from my early days till now, he should be mefanes, he should do this also, he told Yosef, for his children, Ephraim and Manasseh. But when it comes to redeem someone from a tzora, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send a shliach, he can send an emissary. A person can't always redeem himself from a tzora, because it states Ein Chovush Mater Es Atzmai. Prisoner cannot release himself, but someone else who's not a prisoner can. So that's HaMalech HaGoyel Esi Mikol Dro, that the angel that came to redeem me from all evil. So what do we see from here? Omar Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, Koshem is Ein Esav Shal Odom Yeshem Min HaGeula, that the mezeinus of a person is greater than even the redemption of him, we called it off, from all evil. In this vein, the Maral writes, we have a tefillah in Psukei de Zimra on Shabbos. And that's where we have the Ki Le'alom Chastois. Hoda Lashem Kito Ki Le'alom Chastois. And this, the Gemara refers to as Halal HaGodl. Not just plain Halal, but Halal HaGodl. And if you count the Ki Le'olam Chastoi, which means that his chesed, his goodness, his kindliness, is endless and without bounds, if you count them, you will find there are 26. The last two refer to the Mezeinus of Shel Odom. The Gemara tells us, refers to Panoso. The next to the last one states, No sein lechem lechol bosor, ki le'alav chastoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives bread to all flesh, for his bounds are forever and ever, they know no gvul. And the last one is, Hodu lekel hashomayim, that we should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the heavens, that also refers to the Panoso. Why? Because that's referring to the source where Panosa comes from. But this Panosa has to come from the highest source, like we said. So that's the Hodel Kel HaShomayim. The reason why these two are at the end, the Gemara says, is because these are the greatest, this is the greatest miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Now, the Maral says there are 26 times Ki Le'alom Chastoi. What is the significance of the 26? The 26 is the gematria of the Shem Hashem. This is the numerical value of Hashem's name. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be mafanas us only with his name. In other words, it must come from the very highest source. The numerical value of the Yud and the Hay and the Vov and the Hay is 26. And this is his full name. And this is what is meant in the Benchin, in the Birchas Hamazon, which we have in this Parsha. It states, we say, Ubavur Shmei HaGodol Ki Hu Kel Zon Mufanes Osanu Tamid. Ubavur Shmei HaGodol, because of his great name. The Parnoso comes from the very highest levels. So this is the simple meaning of the Pasuk. That we read, that I fed you the mom in order that you should realize and learn that lo al alechem levada yichya odem, that a person is not just sustaining himself from bread, but ki al kol meitzi fi Hashem yichya odem, but rather from all, from Hashem's word. Chaim Volozhiner, the great Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of the Gaon, he said the pasuk means a little differently, and a very, very great insight. He says not that a person doesn't live on bread, but he lives on the word of Hashem. The fact is, how is it possible to live on the word of Hashem? We wouldn't last very long if we stopped to eat the bread and only relied on the word of Hashem. He said what it means is ki lo al lechem levado yichi odem ki al kol meitzi fi Hashem yichi odem. A person lives not by the bread alone, not by the mere physical makeup of the bread, but by the word of Hashem, which Hashem has placed in the bread. That's what a person also lives by. This means that firstly, scientists could not construct bread. The Parnoso, what we need for Parnoso, there are so many miracles of that, that scientists in a million years would not be able to create synthetic Parnoso. The fact is, you see how little they know about nutrition. When almost every year or 2 years they are retracting totally of what they held the year before. See? This is the great miracle of nutrition. So firstly, there's the Chochmas Hashem that he constructed the bread. But secondly, he decreed that bread should give life. He decreed that the wine should make a person happy. Say, he decreed on every food stuff which he created, not only did he create it in ultimate wisdom, but then decreed that it should give the life, or give exactly what he wanted it to do. So therefore, Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner said, doesn't mean that a person doesn't live on bread alone, except he lives by the word of Hashem. We cannot live by the word of Hashem. We have to eat bread. But when we eat the bread, we have to realize we're not living off the bread merely because it happens to be a physical entity. Try to replace it. We're living off of the bread because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word in the bread, where with his words he constructed the bread and decreed it that it must give us life. See? This is how he explained this pasuk. Now, actually, what he is saying is what we have is, it's probably the greatest principle. It is the greatest principle of creation. and that is the Chibur Bein Beis Elomais, the greatest principle of creation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu executed was not just a physical creation, even though that itself is full of billions of wonders that scientists in a billion years could not duplicate one of them. It says Chazal guarantee that all, we're talking about cloning today, the Chazal guarantee that all of the Chachomim in the world will get together, one nemola, one ant they will not be able to create. Maybe cloning, that's different because they're not creating it. They're only taking it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. But to create it from anew, that the Chazal guarantee us, not even an ant will ever be able to create. So besides the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's physical creation is full with billions, countless Nisim Veniflos wonders, that was only a facet of his creation. Then there's the spiritual creation, the neshama. And the neshama, the spiritual creation, is filled with what is known as Ein Sof, endless miracles, far more than the physical creation. But that also was not his greatest principle, his greatest wonder of the world. Then what was his greatest wonder of the world? The greatest wonder of the world that he made was the Chibur Bein Beis Olamos, the merging, the meshing of the two worlds, the physical and the spiritual. This was his greatest wonder. Because physical, a gashmi, that's something that's physical, that belongs to the physical world. That's what science is. Science is the study of the physical world. Bilti gashmi, something which is not physical, that's a different world. That's a world where scientists will tell you we have no rules for that world. Yet it's an endless world. Now to merge the two into one, this was his greatest wonder of the creation of the world. And this merger, which was in all of creation, in particular was in the Adam, where it tells us in Bereshis, right at the beginning of the creation, Vayitzar Hashem es Adam ofer min Adama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he formed man from the earth. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and he blew into his nostrils a soul of life, a spiritual soul of life. See, these were the two elements. Vayi Adam lenefesh chaya, and from here came a nefesh chaya, a new type of bria, a new type of creation that was infused where the physical and the spiritual was infused. And this is what is known as the Chibur Bein Beis Olamos. He created an Eilam Hazeh, a physical world. He created an Eilam Habor, an Eilam Elyon, in the higher spiritual worlds. And he fused them together in man. Now, what B'chaim V'loshin is telling us then, that this is what he did with Parnassa also. The food that he made, contrary to popular scientific belief, is not merely a physical food. It has a physical structure. It has a total physical structure. But a spiritual structure was also infused in it. And this is the Parnassa that he gave to man. And that's what it states in this pasuk, that you should know, Raman hadu odiacho, ki lo al lechem levada yichya odam. That when a person eats the bread, it's not merely that the physical counterpart, the physical aspects of the bread, which is sustaining him, ki al kol meitzi fi Hashem yichya odam, but also the word of Hashem that's in that bread, the bilti gashmi, the spiritual power that he put into that bread, that comes from the pi Hashem, from the mouth of Hashem. That's just how he gave the man the neshama. Vayipach va'apav nishmas chaim. He blew into the man a living soul, and that blowing, the Chazal tell us, was from his breath. In other words, just like a man has a soul, the bread also has a soul. And that's the Pi Hashem. And that's what we learned in the desert, because to prove it to us, generally what would we say? What would any scientist say? No, it's the scientific makeup and it's the scientific qualities that are giving you sustenance, and you couldn't live without it. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed that we could live on spiritual bread alone. So if we could live on spiritual bread alone, certainly we could live on a physical bread that also has a spirit in it. With this now, it's very good why we said that the panoso, which is coming, firstly we can understand why it has to come from such a high source. The bread itself can come from the earth, but why the panoso has to come from such a high source. But secondly, we can understand now why we said that it's the last of the ki le'olam chastoi, the last of the halal hagodol, the number 26, because this represents Hashem's name. We could have asked the question that it would have been more proper perhaps that if we say it comes from the highest source, so perhaps it would have been more proper that it should be been designated with a numerical value of 10, of Yud, because it states that the Yud, with the Yud, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the higher worlds. So if we say that Panos is coming from the highest source, so it would have been better that we would have had a numerical value of the Yud. Why do we need his full name? The answer is, it's not coming from the spiritual height, and it's not coming from the physical level. It's coming from both levels. We can't live on his word alone, because this is not how he made us. And we can't live on the physical bread alone, because this is not how he made us. He merged us from two worlds, and therefore we need a panosa coming from two worlds. So therefore we need the physical bread with his word in it, his Pi Hashem, his breath in it. And that's why it has to come from all of the worlds. And that's what it means, the numerical value of his entire name. And that's what we say in the Birkas HaMozain, Bavur Shmei HaGodol, that through his great name, he is Mefanes Rizon Esonu, he sustains us with Panoso. So from here, we see the enormous height and miracle of Mezein Esav Shel Odom, and it's something that gets lost in the shuffle because it becomes so common. If there would be an enormous eclipse of the moon or the sun, the whole world would stop to watch it. If the sea would split, the whole world would stop and would be on world television. But a piece of bread doesn't make world news, because it's so common to us, it loses its value. But just because we lose sight of it does not minimize at all its true greatness. And this is what the Rama says in Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim, in Siman Vov, Sof Siv Aleph, and in the Mishnah Berurah there, Siv Koton Vov. The brocha that we're making on the Parnosa Shel Odom and the digestion of the Parnosa Shel Odom, is the brocha Asher Yotzar Es HaOdom Echochma, and it ends with Baruch Atah Hashem Refei Chol Bosor Umaflia Lasos. He is the doctor of all flesh, and he does wonders. Maflia Lasos. And there, the sages, the Rishonim, are going through a great trouble to understand this word maflia. Because maflia always means a pella, something which is a wonder beyond understanding. See? That's what the word pella means, maflia. Something which is beyond our understanding. And they want to know, why do we end that brocho, refei chol bosor u'maflia lasois, where he does wonders which is beyond our understanding, something we do not have the capacity to understand. Where is the wonder? And a number of opinions are brought. Then the Rambam brings an opinion, and the Mishnah Berurah adds to it, which he brings from some of the Gdeli Achreinim. And what he says is this is the Pella. He says, this is the wonder. The wonder is that you eat physical bread. If it would nourish us physically, we could understand the rationale of that. See? The scientists can explain how bread can nourish us rationally. If the word of Hashem, Hashem's word, would do something for us spiritually, that we also understand. Spiritual nourishment. The Pella is, though, how this bread, which is something that is totally physical, does not only nourish us physically, but also spiritually. Generally, I would say, a person would ask, what's physical nourishment? He'll say bread, panosa. What's spiritual nourishment? He would say Torah and mitzvahs. No, not so. The bread nourishes us spiritually also. How do we see this? Try not eating, and then try to understand the piece of Gemara. We see that it affects. Eat something good and you can understand better. Now the understanding of a piece of Gemara, that's not physical, that's spiritual. Or for example, starve yourself and a person eventually will die. When he dies physically, his neshama leaves him. So what do we see? When a person dies, there's a physical cause on the death certificate. He wants to know what the physical cause is. But that physical cause was the cause not only of his physical death, but of his spiritual death. A person will starve himself, and this will cause you to see a saneshama. So what do we see? We see that this bread is not only nourishing him physically, but it's nourishing his spirit also. And that's the pillar. How can something physical nourish something non-physical? This is the Pella. This is the wonder. And we see it. The Gemara says, there's a Gemara where a person said that he couldn't learn today because le'ochalti bisur d'tura. He used to eat every day, he would eat some meat, a little meat, from a shore, from an ox. And one day he didn't eat it. And he says, look, he can't learn well today. See? Or we know, for example, it says, Yain yisamach levav enosh. A person drinks wine, it brings simcha to him. Brings simcha to him, if it's used properly. It says, the shechina sheirim yitechas simcha. So he has the shechina. We see that through these physical mediums, not only is he nourishing himself physically, but he's nourishing himself spiritually also. And why is that? That's the chibur of the Beis Elomais. That's the binding of the two worlds. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu infused in the bread, just like he infused in man, a guf and a neshama. And he didn't make it like a shell, like you take a clam with a pearl. See? That you have the clam and inside is a pearl. Not that he has a body and inside there's a soul, so if we cut open the body we'll find the soul. No. In every fiber of the human being there is a fiber of the soul. It was a total chibur, a total meshing of the two powers, of the two forces. And this is what he did in the bread also. And it's impossible then that there should be physical nourishment without spiritual nourishment in the body. And since the bread is also made like this, it is impossible that it should give physical nourishment without spiritual nourishment. So this is the mafli al asais, the great wonder of the panoso. In the pasuk we read, it states that from the mon we learn that panoso is not merely physical. Actually, there are a great number of important principles that we learn from the mon in regards to panoso. If we go to Parshas Bishalach, that's where the mon was first introduced. In Parshas Bishalach, that's in Shmos Tezayin, starting with Posuk Tezayin. There it tells us that one day they woke up and the camp was full of men. And they didn't know what it was, and they came to Moshe. And he said, Zeh adavar asher tzivar Hashem. This is what Hashem has commanded. Liktu mimeno. Go out and gather it. Ish lefi ochlei. Everyone in accordance to how much you'll need, to how large his family is. Eime la gugelis. An omer is a certain measure. He should gather that measure for every one of his family. For example, if there's five in his family, then he should gather five omers. Ten and ten. Mispar nafshei seichem, ish la sheba olei tikochu. In accordance to the numbers of people, of souls that live with you in your tent. Vayasu kein b'nei Yisrael, vayilketu hamar bevamamit. So they went out, and they gathered up. But some gathered more. There were some that didn't trust that. And they filled their pockets with whatever they could. Others gathered less than they should have. Vayasu kein b'nei Yisrael, vayilketu hamar bevamamit, vayimodu ba'emer. When they brought it home, after they brought it home, and they measured it, a miracle happened. Lehedif hamar be, those that gathered more, it had shrunk to exactly the measure of an omer for everyone in the tent. Vahamamit lehikser, and those that gathered less, it had grown to exactly that amount which was needed for him. It came out that each one really had gathered exactly what he needed. Then, Mesha said, do not leave it over until morning. Not allowed to leave it over. It's for today. Tomorrow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you more. There were those, though, they didn't trust Moshe. They said it was so good, we have to save it. How do we know what will be tomorrow? And they left it over till morning. And the next day it became full of worms and it rotted. And Moshe became angry on them because they didn't listen to the instructions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is what they did. So they did this every day that week. Every day they gathered what they were supposed to. On Friday, they all took a double portion. Rashi explains, they gathered the same amount they gathered every day. They took enough, an omer, for each one in the tent. But when they came home, it had doubled in size. And now there were two omers for everyone. And they were startled. So they came, they told the Nesim, they told the heads of their tribes, and the heads of their tribes went and told Moshe. This is what Hashem said. Shabbos and Shabbos Kodesh L'Hashem Mochor. tomorrow, on the seventh day, is a Shabbos, a sanctified day to Hashem. Es asher teifu eifu ve es asher tevashlu bashelu. What you want to bake, bake today. What you want to cook, cook today. And eat what you want today. And even though every day I told you not to leave over for the next day, you eat what you want today and the rest leave over for tomorrow. And they said, but if we leave it over tomorrow, it'll rot. They left it over for the next day, and it didn't rot. And there were no worms in it. Eat it today. Eat today. Ki Shabbos hayim l'Hashem. Today is Shabbos. Hayim leisim tzauhu basode. And you will not find it in the field today. Sheish yomim til ketuhu. 6 days you shall gather it. Vayim ashvi Shabbos lo yebay. Seventh day Shabbos it will not be there. Vayim bayim ashvi. The seventh day, Yotzu min Am Lilkai, there were always those that didn't trust Moshe, so they went out to see Velemotso when it was not there. Rashi tells us, Lechem Mishnah, Friday they brought home the same amount and it doubled in size. Mishnah means Shnei, doubled. But he says also it means Meshuna. Nishtana Taima Verechai. It changed its taste and its aroma. Right. It had a special taste and a special aroma. This is for Shabbos. Now, we learn a great deal from here. What do we learn from this? Firstly, we learn that we have to go out and gather. See, Kodesh Baruch Hu told the people, it's in the field, you must go out and gather it. Right. Didn't come to the people. Got to go out and gather it. But you gather the bread, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will place the brocha in the bread. And he gave a brocha in accordance to each one's needs. See. We have to go work for our panosa. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who places the panosa, the brocha in the panosa, the fi Hashem, his word. And he places the brocha in accordance to each one's needs. Hamamid lehichser, the one who took less, he wasn't hurt by it, because when he got back home, it had grown to be enough, exactly enough of what he needed. And lechol mispar nafshi shechem, if he had a family of five, there was enough for five. If he had a family of 10, there was enough for 10. If he had a family of 15, there was enough for 15. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had calculated that that person should need. This is contrary to what the world says, that if the population gets too big, there won't be enough food. See. This they've been saying for centuries and centuries and centuries, and the world hasn't come short yet. And it's the same thing. People say, don't have big families, because of panosa, it's the opposite. See. The reason why one has such a small panosa, because he doesn't need more. But if his family grows, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that the panosa will grow with it. Then we see another thing. We see tachap, more, doesn't help. To take more than you should. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, everyone take an omer. There were those who decided they'll take more, they'll have more. Ended up with nothing. Amar belahidif. They came home, it had shrunk to the size of an omer. Another principle we see, you would think that, we always think that if someone takes more than a share, so someone else is going to get less than a share. There, many took more, but it didn't affect the others. And that's what the Chazal tell us, that when it comes to parnoso, if you do what you're supposed to do, then no one can touch your parnoso whatsoever. Because everyone's parnoso is allocated to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we see further. We see that it's impossible to succeed with Panosha if you go against the decree of Hashem. For example, he said, Leishir, you shall not leave it over till tomorrow. Those who were Chachomim, I'll store it up, I'll leave it over till tomorrow. What happened? It rotted. How many times do we try to take Parnoso, maybe in a way that the Torah said we should? And we can notice that year, all of a sudden, we had a better income, but all of a sudden we're getting all kind of expenditures, all kind of things that have cropped up that our money has gone away on. The same thing, they came home with more than they should have. The next day they had to chuck it out. The same now we see with Shabbos. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Shabbos, do not be malaki, do not take it. And no matter what they did, they had no success with it on Shabbos. It wasn't in the field. And to the contrary, you have always those who say that I can't afford to keep Shabbos. It was just to the contrary. Those who kept Shabbos, Shema Shabbos Kidul Chosoi. So Friday provided them a double amount, which was enough for Shabbos. Right? And those that didn't keep Shabbos made nothing on Shabbos. Right? So, this is what is written in Pasuk Lamed Gimel. In Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayeme Meshe Lala Aran. Moshe said to Aaron, "Kach sinsenes achas. Take a bottle, a flask. V'sen shama meleya emer mon, and put in a measure, the measure of the mon. V'hanach haisei lifnei Hashem l'mishmeres l'deireseichem, and leave this as a mishmeres. Leave this as a safe security, as a safeguard for all the generations to come, in order that they should see the mon." Rashi brings, in the time of the Nevi'im, they used to show this to the people and tell them, don't daiger about your panosha. Fulfill what you have to and not more. And of course, Boch will take care of the rest. Harbe shluchin lamokem lohochin mezenes lireov. Kodesh Baruch Hu has plenty shluchim, plenty messengers, plenty ways and means to bring panoso to every individual. And these are some of the principles that we learned from the Mon, which are very, very important principles in panoso. If we go a little further in the Sedra, in Akev, a few psukim later, it states in Pasuk Ches that there Hashem is telling us that He'll bring us to a land, a wonderful land, Eretz Tova, and this is a land full of good food, good panoso. Pasuk Ches, Eretz Chitos Ora, it's a land which is full with wheat and barley. Gefen, this is the wine of the vine, Usaeno Virimain, and the figs and the pomegranates, Eretz Zei Shemen Udvosh, with the oil of the olive, and the dvosh, that's the honey of the date. These are the fruits that, and the produce that Eretz Yisrael is full of, the best panoso. Now the panoso is divided up into gimel minim, three categories, the Maral says. First we have chitus ora, that's the wheat and the barley. Actually the Gemara says chitus ora is actually five grains. It also includes oats, rye and spelt, except it states that the oats and the rye and the spelt are derivatives, or more or less from the same family, just a little from the same species as the chitus ora. Now these grains, these five grains, this is the source of all staples. Lechem, what is known as bread, and what is known as a staple of a man. That's one category. That category, the Baral says, that's a hechrach. That's something we must have. If we didn't have it, man could not live. man would die. So that's a mezeinus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, machmas hechrich, as a necessity. And we have a second category. It states the yain gefen and the zay shemen, the wine and the oil. The Gemara says, yain yisamach levav enosh. Wine brings joy to a person. It brings joy to the person's heart. It chases out the daiga, all of the anxiety and the depression from a person. The Gemara that says, le nivrel yain el lesamech esa avelin. Wine was made in order to bring joy to the mourners. This is yain. Zayis, zay shemen. The Gemara says, shemen tatzil. That the shemen brings radiance to a person. And actually, the shemen is referring to the shemen zayis here, as it states in the Torah. That's the olive oil. The Gemara says the olive actually was given three brochas. It was given a brocha for its oil to be eaten. The Gemara says it's the best oil. It's interesting that the latest findings of the nutritionists, the world leading nutritionists, coming from Harvard and Yale and where not, is that of all of the oils, the olive oil is the best. I mean, this is something that the Chazal, the Torah, told us many thousands of years ago. So it states, and also the latest findings, is that they're doing a lot of studying on wines, on good wines. Yeah. And when it's drunk properly, they're finding that also is very, very healthy. They're finding that the Mediterranean people who drink wine regularly with their meals and eat a lot of olive oil are free from a lot of the major diseases that the westernized diets do not free one from. At any rate, this, now these are what the Maral refers to as a mila. This gives an added dimension to a person. Actually, we were saying that the olive was given three brochas. It was given one brocha for his oil to be eaten. Secondly, it was given a brocha for its oil to be massaged on one's skin. The Gemara says that's the best thing for the skin. And thirdly, it was given a brocha that its oil produces the best light. The Gemara says the best light one can have is from olive oil. This is why also that when it came to the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, so we used to mix the grains with oil for the menoches, only olive oil was permitted. And when it came for the menorah, that the menorah was lit every afternoon before evening, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, only olive oil was kosher for that. And you hear a lot about the hard-pressed virgin oil. It was only the hard-pressed virgin oil was allowed for the menorah. Now, these are milas. What does this mean? This adds a new dimension to a person's life. Sure, he could live on bread alone. Without bread, he would starve. But on the bread and the grains, he could live. But he wouldn't have this dimension of simcha, of a yain. He wouldn't have this dimension of tatzil, of the radiance that comes from the olive. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that also. So that was a second dimension of panosa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. Then there's a third dimension. And what is that? That's the te'eno and the rimain and the vash tomorim. The figs, the pomegranates, and the honey from the dates. What is that? Mal says that's something letainug. That's something that people eat merely for joy. Now it's true that these fruits, or all fruits, could be packed with nutrition. But of course Baruch Hu didn't have to put them in such a package of delicacies. He could have, just like with the bread and the staples, they're packed with nutrition. He could have put them in such a package. Why did he put them in a package of sweetness? The te'ena, the fig, and the date. The date was known for its dvash, for its honey, and so forth. So that the Maral says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give a person a tainug also. You know, when you eat, you have to eat staples, right? And You enhance the Suda with some wine and oil, but then afterwards, or before, you like a delicacy, some sweetness. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So this underlines the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created man, he had to be mefarnes him. It would have been sufficient to be mefarnes him so he doesn't die. Now, see, but it was mefarnes him with three levels of parnasa, in order that the person should have a good life and be sholem, in totality. Now that's what's said immediately afterwards. Immediately afterwards, in Pasuk Yud, it states, V'achalta v'sevata. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted you to eat, not just to eat, but v'sevata, to be satisfied. Sevata is the word saveya, where you lack nothing. And with all of this, a person lacks nothing. So therefore it states, V'achalta v'sevata. Now one final point. We can ask a kasha. In Posuk Yud Aleph, it states, the very next Posuk, it says, Ishomelocha, Pentishka ches Hashem Elokecha. Guard yourself, lest you forget Hashem, and you will forget His mitzvahs, and all of His mishpatim, and His justice, His laws. Pentechal v'savoto, lest you eat and you're satisfied, and you build yourself nice homes, and you have cattle and sheep and so forth and so forth. Verom levavecha, and you will become arrogant. V'shachachtes Hashem Elokecha, and you will forget Hashem. Now notice it says again. This is written right after v'savoto. You will be so satisfied, and it says pentechol v'savoto, lest you eat and you'll be satisfied. And we have this again at the end of the Sedra. At the end of the Sedra, in Pasuk Tesvot, this is the second parsha of Krishma. Yud Alef Tesvot, it states, V'nasati yesa b'sotcha levimtecho, I will give grass in your field for your animals, yachalta v'savota, and you will eat and you will be satisfied, yishomru lachem, guard yourselves, pen yivta levavchem, again, you eat and you'll be satisfied. Then it says, be careful lest your hearts will lead you astray. And then you'll go serve Avodah Zarah, idolatry, you'll go after the other gods. And Rashi brings there, he says, Yishom lachem, kivin shitio eichlim usveim yishom lachem. Since you're going to be eating and you're going to be satisfied, guard yourself, shalei tevatu, that you will not rebel against Hashem. She'ein ora meirid ba'kodesh Baruch Hu, elam itek sviya. Kodesh Baruch Hu rebels against Hashem only when he's got a full stomach. And then he quotes from before also, pentechol v'sevoto. Now, we've discussed this at other times. Why is it that a person is likely to rebel against Hashem when he's got a full stomach and not an empty stomach? But here I want to ask another question. Is this sphere, this sevota, is a brocha or a klola? Here we're talking about the wonderful panosa and everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. And then we say, v'achalta v'sevota, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so you can eat and be full, be satisfied. And then the next parsha starts to telling us that when you're satisfied, you can come and forget all the mitzvahs of Hashem. You can even go do Avodah Zarah, idolatry. So what is this? Is this a brocha or a klola? Is it a blessing or a curse? The answer to this is, and this is what is written in the posuk where we quoted to originally, V'achalta v'sevota, and posuk Yud, it says something else. It says, V'achalta v'sevota, you shall eat and be satisfied, u'be'erachto es Hashem elokecha, and you shall bless the Lord your God. Ala oris hateva Hashem osan loch, for the good land which He has given to you. This is the underlying secret. It can be a brocha or a klola, sevia. When a person has everything he needs, it can be the greatest brocha. it can be, heaven forbid, the greatest klola. We see all of the time, many, many times, parents are poor, grandparents were poor, and they had enormous achievements. Enormous achievements, not only in building up a family and in building up a good business, but also in Torah and mitzvahs. The later generation, they give everything to, and they become the worst people possible. What is the underlying principle here? It can be a wonderful brocha, and it's supposed to be a brocha. But it says in the Torah, be careful, pentishkach. Be careful you do not forget where it comes from. That's the underlying principle. If a person eats and he enjoys himself and he soveya and he has everything he needs, and he blesses HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it, he does not forget who gave it to him, then it's the best brocha. And this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world to be. But Yishom Alechem, guard yourself, because Pentishkach es Hashem Elokecha, Bechalta v'savota v'shochachta, because there also is the tendency that when you need something, you'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll come and cry to Hashem. But when you don't need him anymore, then you will totally forget him. And no longer do you have use for his Torah and for his mitzvahs. Okay. Then it will become the greatest klola, the greatest curse, to the point where even the person can go off from Aveda Zorah to idolatry. And this is what we have seen in the decay of Western society. We saw this in the decay of the Romans and so forth. This is history. See, this is history. And this is what the Chazal say. Chayim Odom Levorach Alatev. A person must be constantly Mimavorach, bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu on everything good that he does too for him, so he does not forget where it comes from. And Tomid. Many times people will say, oh, I don't forget where it comes from. But then you'll ask him to bench, no, I don't have time. See? Kodesh Baruch is not talking about that. He says, V'achalta v'savoto uveirachto. You eat, you say thank you. You eat three times a day, and you say thank you three times a day. You eat five times a day, then you say thank you five times a day. You got these self-styled saints. Now I always remember Hashem. See, well, bench, make a brocha, then I don't have time. This is the v'shochachto. They don't remember. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, v'erachto, that every time a person is given something in this world, every time he takes some nourishment in this world, he has to remember where it comes from, and he has to thank and bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu on it. Then it's the greatest brocha. Then it's the greatest brocha. Not only is the greatest brocha, the Gemara brings that's even greater than Yiras HaShemayim. It's even greater than the fear of Hashem. Hanenah mim. Hanenah mimaisi yodav. Because that brings avas Hashem to a person, the love of Hashem. He's constantly realizing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him, and he's constantly thanking him for him. The Gemara says, far greater is avas Hashem. Actually, Rashi brings that to the end of the Sefer, far greater is the one who loves Hashem than the one who fears Hashem. But once, Yishom Alechem, though, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, be careful. Because the human nature is once you got what you want, and once you got what you need, then you're off to different areas. See, then it's time for a trip to Disneyland, and it's time for a yacht, see, and it's time for a Ferrari, and no longer do you have time to bench. See? amongst other things. So, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. What's very important here is you have the forecasters, people who like to forecast political scenarios, economic scenarios. And if you study them, not in retrospect, you see most of the time they're wrong. See? It's true, most of the time they're wrong. Someone wrote that when an economist is good, as he can explain to you after it happens, why it happened. See? But not before it happens. But in general, history's taught us that forecasting on a world perspective is very, very difficult. Before computers and after computers. Now people think that we're crammed with information, so we got everything we need. Before computers, you take Hitler, you mark Shemai. No one forecasted what Hitler was. No one. If Poland would have forecasted, he wouldn't have walked into Poland in 2 days. See? Britain, mistaken. Countries made treaties with them. America wasn't worried. No one forecasted. This was the biggest catastrophe in the last 1,000 years. And everybody forecasted it wrong. You take the fall of Russia. The biggest event that's taken place in the last 100 years. Nobody had a clue. No one forecasted it. At least none of the great forecasters. The rise of the Asian tiger, no one forecasted. And now the fall of the Asian tiger, nobody forecasted. Once they're falling, everybody's forecasting. But till then, they never forecasted. Or everybody said after Russia fell, everybody said, well, we're ushering in now an era of peace. There's been endless wars in Europe ever since Russia fell. So, it's not too scientific. But something that's interesting, a lot of books are coming out now because we have access to so much information. They put it through the machines and they're forecasting exactly what is going to happen to this nation or to that nation and so forth. Incidentally, it's very important to know the difference between information and wisdom. Many times I see this with some individuals in learning too. Information can be can be useless and harmless, and it can be very dangerous. Information is not wisdom. The wisdom is how to analyze the information that you have. And you don't need a lot of information to analyze it. The fact is, the more information you have, the more difficult it's going to be to analyze it. See? So actually, information can be contrary to wisdom, and this is what we're seeing. There's been a lot of top executives that are complaining. They come into their office and their desk is piled up with information that can take them a month to go through, and meanwhile they can't get on with the job. I remember there was a town meeting. Sometimes I come across one here. The yeshiva used to come across a lot of them that would throw information at you. They had a lot of information and they keep throwing information at you. And as all you came out is with confusion. I remember the greatness that I saw in my Rebbe, Rav Gifter, how to analyze a piece of information. See, it didn't take a lot of information. You take it one at a time, and with the depth and the analysis of it. That's wisdom. Now, but what I notice is that in all of these books, they follow a style that when they are trying to predict if this country will be successful or this country will not be successful, whether it's in the east or the west, wherever it might be, basically they base their predictions on the economy. This country, South Africa, can get its economy going, be riding high, it'll be successful. Kenya can get its economy going. Malaysia can get its economy going. If not, it's finished. See? They base it on the economy. And it's a pella. It's a wonder. But economy is the only thing that governs success. Most of your great countries in the world were economic giants before they plunged. It's not the economy that makes success. It's if they have the seichel to use their economy properly. If they have the morals to use their economy properly. And that's what we're seeing here. If there'll be a good crop this year, then everything will be wonderful because we will cultivate the water. How many times have we found that when the economy becomes affluent, all of a sudden they're hit with so many problems, they're hit with mafias, they're hit with drugs, they're hit with AIDS, they're hit with promiscuity, and all of a sudden the whole land becomes ungovernable. Not because they had a bad economy. The fact is that when the Jews came over to many countries, or even in America, when in the early days of establishing the country, refugees came over, the huge majority were poor. Yet they achieved wonders. But it's somehow, I always see what these people, they're writing, they're putting through the machines to calculate what kind of economy can they project, and on that is the basis if they'll be successful or not successful. So here, the Torah is telling us just the opposite. That's not the guiding line. The guiding line is what you will do with the economy. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the panosu. He gives the enormous bruchos. V'yachalta v'savoto. But the rest is your choice. It can be v'yachalta v'savoto v'shochachto v'rom levovacho. You will forget, you will become arrogant. You will say, like the Torah said later on, Kechi ve'etzim yodi, look at all of this wealth, what I created. And this has even created wars. Or it can be ve'achalto ve'savoto uve'erachto, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you a good economy and you will eat and you will satisfy yourself and you will bless him. Then it will be for a bracha. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.